The scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, "See this? It is new"? Already it has existed for ages, which were before us.
Good morning. Wonderful to be here. Wonderful to see everybody today. It is a beautiful day outside, as was mentioned earlier. Looks like you guys got some snow over here. We got some ourselves. It's been a very interesting week. I know we have several professional educators in the audience who understand the snow day feeling that teachers get. We were joking, if you think kids get excited for snow days, you should see the way teachers get when it's time for a snow day. But it looks like tomorrow's back to the real world, so I'm trying to get myself back in that zone of real life again. Because I am a teacher, and I mentioned this in the past, but a while back I went back and took some classes to get certified to teach science. And one of the things that I remember learning during that time, during those classes, was a method for kind of introducing a lesson, and it was called a discrepant event. And it was, and the purpose is to do something that would kind of, I don't know, shock students or get them to kind of wonder, something that didn't make sense, that was kind of new, and they couldn't understand how it happened. And the example that I gave, I had to videotape myself, giving kind of a lesson, and it was in the summer, so I had to do it with my nieces. But one of the topics with teaching science is the conservation of matter. That matter can't be created or destroyed. Like, matter never really disappears. So I did like a magic trick where I would kind of, hide a coin. I thought about trying to do it. Too risky. I'm not going to do it right now. There's a lot of ways I could not do that well. But I did it to kind of get them to say, like, oh, they know it's a magic trick, but it kind of leads into that, like, matter cannot disappear. So that discrepant event is something that kind of goes against the way that you think, and that causes us to kind of focus in and be curious. And I thought about that as kind of part of this lesson, which I would just describe as novel teaching. And that word novel, like novelty, as being something that is new or unusual or kind of sparks your interest, and it's different in an interesting way. And that's really good when you're teaching children to bring up something novel. We say we have to kind of keep things fresh and interesting. But spiritually, I wanted to think about it and to kind of look at the scriptures and what they teach about novel ideas and our propensity as people to chase after things that are novel, new, or unexpected in an interesting way. And has that led some people away from the truth? What does the Bible say about it? Is it a threat to lead us away from the truth? So I want to look at these scriptures and to see how the Bible teaches us that we can stay firmly planted in the truth. I want to begin by addressing the thought that, most of the time people don't believe that they are a false teacher or that they're following a false doctrine. Now, there may be exceptions to that. There may be some people who know what they're teaching is false, but they have other motives for doing so. But those exceptions aside, I think that even people who may be teaching a false doctrine don't believe that they are. And that I bring that up because I think that's a sobering thought. And I think it's a humbling thought that, you know, we think that we're right, but a lot of people think that they're right, and we would say that they're not right. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And I think about this a lot because I really think it's important to keep humble and to have humility in approaching God's word. There are people who suffer from mental health issues, and in some cases they can't trust their senses. They may perceive things that aren't there, and I don't know how accurate, you know, portrayals are in movies and TV, whether that's realistic or not. Like, I remember, you know, seeing movies and things where people hallucinate and they can't trust their senses. They see something, they hear something, but it's not actually there. And I thought about that when I read this passage in Proverbs about a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We may have senses about what we feel like should be right or wrong, ways that seem right to us, but can we always trust our senses? Are there doctrines, are there things spiritually, beliefs, that we may have this kind of sense is there, but it may not be real. It may be a hallucination. Like our mind can play tricks on us. I wonder if our hearts sometimes fool us into thinking that certain actions or certain beliefs are right when there's really nothing there. And, you know, I'm reminded of in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And sadly, I think a lot of people follow their heart in a way that severs their relationship with Scripture and with the truth. And trusting a heart, or, you know, your heart or your feelings, or even just your own senses, rather than trusting in the Word of God. Some people have a vision for what is right and how to serve God and what God wants, but it may not be the truth. It may not be that thing that is actually perceivable in Scripture, but it may just be something that's in our head. And perhaps even, you know, additionally tragic is that a lot of times people will teach those doctrines to others. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees as being blind leaders of the blind, and that came to my mind again when thinking about this. But thankfully for us, those are not the only things that we have to go on. We have something that is real, that is true, that is foundational. And that, of course, is the Bible, the Word of God. It comes from the mind of God. It is actually objectively true. It is real. Again, to continue that analogy, it's not a hallucination. When we reach out for it, it is there. And it is true and real. There's a person who I've seen do like several debates and videos online who says, you know, proclaims Christianity, but will just say that the Bible is not inerrant, that there are scriptures that are no longer true or maybe weren't true to begin with, even in regards to some things that Christ did, that you know, maybe there are ways that Christ should have done things differently. He thinks that we should examine the scriptures in the way that we look at other books. That we should, you know, I think he said something along the lines of, you know, every other book we have, we look at it and we assess things that are good from it and things that are not good from it. And why should we treat the Bible differently than that? Now, I would contend that we are taught the Bible does proclaim itself to be the Word of God, which is really an extraordinary claim when you think about it. I mean, there aren't a lot of, even taking everything into account, true or false, there aren't a lot of works out there that claim to be the inspired Word of God. That's a pretty incredible claim. We're taught in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the Word of God is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. How many of these works can claim, that claim to even be from God, have the number of fulfilled prophecies that we see in Scripture, the scientific information, the historical information, the cohesiveness of so many authors over so many centuries? If I look at the Bible differently, it's because it is different. And because any work that claimed to be from God, if it had the credentials that the Bible does, I would hold it in the same regard as the Bible. But that's just simply not the case. The Bible is so unique. Again, the prophecies, the cohesiveness, the historical information, everything about the Bible leads us to know that it is the Word of God. And because of that, we do treat it differently. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, we're commanded, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. I believe we're supposed to look critically at doctrines, at beliefs, and to hold fast to what is good. The Bible claims to be the Word of God and proves those claims to be true. And no other book has ever done that. Therefore, all other teachings and ideas must be subject to the truth. And God compassionately warns us against being led astray by false doctrines. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Even an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. I remember I once, I don't think I have the picture anymore, but I saw, and this is a silly thing, maybe it just kind of struck me the right way. There was this, I think it was dishwashing liquid, and it said, new and improved scent. And then like underneath, the name of the scent was original. And I thought, well, how do you call a new and improved scent original? Like, that seems contradictory to me, right? To say something, it's the original scent and it's new and improved. But I just thought it was funny to look at that and think, like, if something's new, if something's improved, if something's different, then it's not the original. And any changes, any different applications to the Word of God, that's contradictory. It can't be the original Word of God. It can't be the truth that was delivered to those inspired people. Anything that we change about it means it's no longer the original. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. These teachings in the Word of God, in the Bible, they are not from man's mind. They did not originate in the man of mind, but they was breathed out by the Spirit. So we can know for sure that it is the Word of God. The Scriptures are not of our own ingenuity. We only know what has been given, and that leaves no room for my own ideas or even my own interpretations of those truths. If anyone preaches anything except what is in the Bible, then it cannot be trusted to be truly from God. And we're warned of that, and that's something that I think we should all take very seriously, that when we preach, as James chapter 3, verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. And I don't think that that should be discouraging for us to teach, but just a reminder that we need to be responsible in what we teach and in what we preach. It is a high responsibility, but there is a way to make it pretty easy to make sure that you're not teaching any false doctrines, and that is to just teach what the Bible teaches. And if we do that, we can rest assured that we're teaching what is true. And when I preach before you, sometimes I'll use analogies or I'll use my own experiences and I'll tie those things in, but I hope that I'm never teaching any principles or anything that is not straight from the mouth of God in the Scriptures. And if I ever do, first of all, please tell me. Please let me know if I'm ever teaching anything that is questionable. I promise I will take that in the right spirit, and I'll try to. I'll try to at least, because I don't want to be wrong. I certainly don't want to teach anything that is wrong. I think we should love each other enough to do that. But I know that, getting back to this idea of novel teaching, there is this kind of pull. I think we have this, I don't know, it's like we kind of want attention or something. It's like we kind of crave this idea of having this new and improved thing that we can show. We I don't know, it makes us feel clever or interesting or wise if we can kind of take something and turn it on its head and come up with something new and exciting to teach. We kind of like to turn things on its head like that. And Jesus, in a way, did that. When you read through the Sermon on the Mount, there are times when Jesus began his teachings with, "You have heard that it was said." And then he would go through a teaching. And then he would come back and say, "But I tell you." And then he would take that teaching and kind of, illuminate it in a different way. That is coming from the Son of God, who can illustrate those things in a way that no man ever could. But for me, or any man, to take Scripture and say, "It says this, but I tell you," and to kind of take that place and try to give new teaching or a new understanding of Scripture, I think is a very dangerous thing. Only God has authority to speak on behalf of God. And the men who wrote the Bible and preached were doing so by the inspiration of God, by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the emperor's new clothes. Like we want to seem wise, so we want to not be left behind. We want to seem sophisticated, so we maybe fool ourselves into going along with things that seem exciting and new. I read a while back about, there was an artist who sold one of his works for over $6 million. And this work was a banana duct taped to a white canvas. And that's it. And it sold for $6 million. Now, I'm not claiming to understand art very well, and maybe this is over my head, but that seems kind of ridiculous. That seems kind of foolish. And the art gallery owner said this, "And of course there will be people who say, that's the most ridiculous thing. And it sounds simple, but it's a brilliant, brilliant idea." Again, maybe this is subjective, and maybe I'm just somebody who doesn't get it. And the artwork came with a 14-page manual on the upkeep of it, including buying a new banana and new duct tape. So again, I look at that and I think, do we sometimes fool ourselves by just trying to seem like we get it, like we're advanced, like we're sophisticated, like we're clever? And in a lot of ways, that's maybe not good, but not particularly harmful. But I think that same inclination sometimes takes over spiritually and with our understanding of God's Word. I remember another debate that I saw recently, and kind of to take the other side of that, to kind of, you know, play off two different mentalities. There was a debate about a biblical issue between a couple of men, and they used tradition as a foundation to support their claims. They're saying, well, I believe this, and if you look back at the people of centuries ago, this is the way they interpret it, therefore that bolsters my claim. That supports my side. And they used, you know, basically tradition was a source of authority in proving what they believed. And I don't think that that's a perfect way to do it either. Just because some people in the past have done something doesn't always make it true. So we can kind of see both sides of this that are missing the mark. If we just hold fast to things that were done before us, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. And if we're always looking for something new and exciting and revolutionary, those may not be true. We have to rely on the Word of God, on the plain teachings of Scripture. And there are people who I think look at the Bible through a contemporary lens and subconsciously or in sometimes even consciously of just saying, like, you know, the Bible is a very old book and some of the ideas in it are outdated and we have a better understanding now, and so we can better serve God in these ways that the Scripture doesn't teach. And it reminds me I'm brought to the verse in Ecclesiastes that was read for us, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ages before us. These teachings that come out and seem novel and seem revolutionary and you know, it's so contemporary and sophisticated. It's nothing that man hasn't been doing since the beginning. Taking the teachings of God, and for one reason or another, selfishness, arrogance, pride, the desire for gain, twisting the Scriptures to fit their own needs. And to fit our own desires. And that is something that is not new. Any doctrines out there that may seem new, Ecclesiastes says, you know, a lot of times man thinks they're doing something clever and new, but it's things that have been done before. I know that the people that I'm speaking to right now, I believe, are trying to do things the way the Scriptures say and doing it to the best of our ability. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. If I thought there was another group who was more closely following the Word of God, I would be worshiping with them this morning. I hope I would be. I hope I would be truthfully trying to follow as closely as I can and being with the people who do. So I don't present this lesson as a way of you know, criticizing, of course, but I do think that the Scriptures have taught us to be wary and to be humble when we approach the Word of God. And so for us to rightly divide the Word of truth, and not only that, but as we teach it, to be humble and to have compassion and love and to be able to reach out and to recognize that sometimes people are falling astray. And they're being led by what they see as new and exciting ideas but are contrary to the Word of God. I want to close with a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of truth. And so this morning, I pray that we continue to rightly divide the word of truth, that we don't look to tradition to guide us, that we do not become, preoccupied or drawn away or enticed by something that sounds new and exciting and makes us maybe feel good or is interesting or catches our attention, but that we stay true to the word and that we try our best to take that out into the world as well. And that we show them that the truth of God, His word, His will, needs no updating, it needs no improvement, and it needs no more sophistication from us. If you are in our number today and you wish to join the church and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins, we stand ready to do that with you. If you are a member and you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we will help you and pray with you if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.